Hello, I'm Courtney Vian, a senior editor at the Journal of Accountancy, and this is the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Cortland Colefield, CPA PFS. He's a 26-year-old CPA financial planner from Chicago, and he mainly works with millennial clients. So he's going to be talking to us about the types of financial challenges that millennials face and what accountants need to know about them in order to best serve them. We'll talk to him in just a minute, but please listen to this word from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
All right, we're back. Hello, Colefield.
Hey, how you doing, Courtney?
I am all right. So can we talk about why you first started working with millennials?
Yeah, so I'll make a long story short. So I worked in the accounting and finance industry for about a little over 4 years after college. And, you know, we made good money, like, you know, my employees, my fellow employees, my supervisors, and my other coworkers, we made good money, but they always seemed to have like some financial stresses or financial insecurities. And they would always come to me for advice because they knew I specialized in personal finance and financial planning. And so when I would give them advice, they would be very thankful and they would say, thank you, because I tried to get advice other places, but I could not find anybody to give me advice. So it really opened my eyes to a huge underserved market of millennials that make good money, but they have nobody to help them with their financial decisions. So knowing that, I left my last employer and decided to start Colefield Advisors and really specialize in helping millennials because I wanted to give them somewhere to turn.
So who are your clients? What kind of work did they usually do?
So my general clients demographically are, you know, people of ages 25 to usually about 40, with household incomes from anywhere from 70,000 to probably about 500,000 of household general overall income. Profession-wise, it is a wide scope. I mean, work with doctors, pediatricians, lawyers, other CPAs actually, but the thing that I noticed the most is that majority of my clients are either small business owners or they're full-time employees that have a side business because they love the fact that they could come to one place and get financial planning for their overall family life. And they could also get tax planning as well for the businesses all in one place.
So many financial advisors typically only work with very wealthy clients, and you said that you work with clients from varying income levels. How do you make sure that your business is sustainable doing that?
Okay, that's a great question. So the way that I structured my business allows me to work with various income levels. So I have like three tiered levels of service that allows me to work with, you know, middle class to higher middle class households, while ensuring that my business is sustainable, and also more importantly, ensuring that none of my clients are paying for more service that they actually need.
So do millennials like the fact that you're a fee-only financial planner?
Yes. So, and I can just dive into my business model a little bit more and show why it works. So my business model kind of works on a retainer service model. So what that means is that, so my clients pay me on a monthly basis, right? Like they do everything. Like millennials are used to paying their phone bills monthly, their car notes monthly. So they pay me monthly to get holistic and continuous financial planning services. I like to compare it to a gym. You know, you pay your gym membership monthly. The more you go there, the longer you go there, the more physically fit you become. Same thing with my firm. The more you come visit me, the longer we work together, the more financially fit that you become. I don't partner with any brokers nor sell any financial or insurance products. So what that does, it establishes immediate trust with my clients. I wanted to give my clients a place where they knew that they were getting conflict-free advice and that they were working with a fiduciary advisor.
So how do you find your clients? Do you go through referrals or do you do marketing or is it both?
Most of my clients actually come from networking, going to different networking events and just showing face and letting people know that, you know, they have a financial planner that works with just the millennial demographic. The biggest, the hardest things to do is letting people know that this service is actually provided to them. Because let's face it, financial planning and financial advisory is a profession that usually was for old, wealthy people, right? Not like young, financially stable individuals. So letting them know that, hey, I will work with this demographic. And also speaking engagements help a lot. I do a lot of financial literacy education with whether it's colleges, small businesses with their employees, or professional organizations. So I'll give a financial literacy seminar, and then somebody from the crowd either send me an email or come up to me like, hey, I need help with this issue. Can we set up a free consultation? So that's kind of how I've been getting my clients. And then when I do get clients, working very well with them, giving them great service, they refer me to people that they know. A decent amount of my clients are small business owners and or have a side business. So I would just look for meetups or different events that's happening in my area, and go to those events and just, you know, let my name be known and get my business out there. As well as, it's a site called Thumbtack, and I don't know if we can say names in this interview, but Thumbtack is a way that is an application that puts together business service providers and public individuals that need the service. And it's been extremely helpful for me in like getting clients out of the state. So that has helped a lot as well.
So you're based in Chicago, but you have clients all over the country. So how do you meet with them? Do you do that online or over Skype?
Yes, I have a meeting software called GoToMeeting. And it's just like Skype, but it allows me to have virtual meetings with my clients that are out of state. So they see me, I see them, I can share my screen, I can give them the power to share their screen. So it's really intuitive and really helpful, because it gives the same experience as having my client in the office, but they're at home and they're comfortable, and you know, it's very convenient for both parties. And honestly, a lot of my clients in Chicago use the virtual method as well. Like, why spend 45 minutes in traffic to drive downtown to come to my office when we can meet in the confines of their own home? And one thing I've noticed is that people are a lot more comfortable in their home because they get just a sense of comfort, sense of familiarity. So it's really convenient for both parties.
What's your impression of your generation?
Okay, my impression of my generation is not so much that we don't believe in working hard. I think we just believe more in working smart. We no longer believe in the dream of working like hard labor for 40 years and then retiring, partly because like pensions don't exist anymore. So like that's kind of out the window. And we just have, in my opinion, more of an entrepreneurial itch than other generations. And I think we're the first generation to really push a lot of status quo, like just because this was the way to do it. We're kind of challenging that and trying to find other ways, like leverage technology and just work smarter. So I don't think we're just lazy. I think we're just pushing against the status quo a little bit, if that makes sense.
So in general, how much financial literacy do your clients have?
I would say very little financial literacy, and it's 100% not their fault. My clients are very smart individuals. Some are doctors, you know, medical school. Some are other CPAs. Some are MBA students, MBA graduates. And so they're very smart individuals. But when it comes to the notion and the concept of financial literacy, it was just never taught to them at any level of schooling. So a part of my job is while I'm working with my clients is to not just advise them and give recommendations, but is to educate them as well. Because I think having the basics just takes you a long way. And the ultimate goal that I want all my clients to have is to get to a point where they don't necessarily need me for every financial decision that they make, but they love having me around as a second opinion or someone to come to for the more complex questions. I really put a huge emphasis on educating my clients.
So what kind of problems do your clients typically come to you with?
So my clients come to me with a myriad of problems, from debt elimination, getting rid of consumer debt, student loan refinancing and reallocation is huge. you know, depending on whether they want to pay the minimum and get the student loan forgiveness or pay the maximum and get rid of them completely. Mortgage consulting is huge as well, because a lot of my clients are either first time home buyers or are starting a family, so they want to buy a bigger home. And another big component is 401k rollovers. As you may know, Courtney, millennials change jobs every 2 to 3 years. So I have some clients come to me with like 5 401ks in 5 different places, and they have no idea what to do. So I help them aggregate all of them to one place, to where it's an easy way to manage the funds and allocate them accordingly. If I would have to say the biggest issue, it's probably just like financial coaching in general. As you can imagine, buying has never been easier than it is today. You can walk in your house and ask Alexa to buy you a new refrigerator, and it'll be there tomorrow. So just helping them with financial coaching and understanding their spending habits. My job is so much more psychological than I ever could have imagined. So understanding their relationship with money, why they spend the way they do, and then on my end after that, tailoring a plan that will allow them to have the best budgeting and saving and spending success. So yeah, my job is a lot of psychology and just understanding my clients. So yeah, those are the kind of things I help my clients with.
So how are they affected by student loan debt?
Whew. So glad you asked that. So student loan debt, I think the latest statistic was like on average student loan debt in 2018, like $40,000 a student. So a lot. And I think the total overall is like $1.5 trillion. So with those statistics, needless to say, student loan debt is a huge issue for my clients and millennials in general. So a big part of my job is sitting with my clients, letting them, helping them understand their student loan debt situation, and then coming up with the best plan and implementing the best plan to help them achieve their financial goals. So this could be this could be restructuring their student loans to put them on a consolidation plan to where they pay the minimum, and then try to get the student loan forgiveness 20 years down the line, or refinancing, lowering the interest rate, and just having them pay it down as quickly as possible to get rid of it completely. So student loan debt is a huge, huge part of my clients' services. And it's really good because once we get that out the way, it takes a huge weight off their back. I can like see the weight fall off when we finish with the session, and they're able to kind of continue with their finances accordingly.
So do you find that they struggle with savings?
Yes. And I don't think it's 100% their fault. Because picture this, millennials, they're so far away from retirement. It's hard for a 30-year-old or a 35-year-old person to see their 65-year-old self. It'd be like, hey, I'm going to save for that guy. Like, I'm going to put money away for that guy. He's so far down the line. So, it's really hard for them to save now and save early because they can't see that far. So what I like to rephrase it. Like, I rarely use the word retirement with my clients. I use like financial independence planning. And it helps them just really relate to that person 30 years from now and letting them know if we start saving today and save a good amount today, you know, you could be a 55 or 50 or 65 year old individual where you never need a job again. Like, imagine waking up and whether you work today or not, your expenses are paid and you're able to live your life. So I think, yes, to answer your question, they have a problem with saving, but it's not directly that their fault. It's the fact that what they're saving for is so far down the line, it's hard for them to see. So I find that if we rephrase it, shift their mindset a bit, it really helps them save more.
What would be your best piece of financial advice for millennials?
Not to sound cliche, it would have to be save early and often. And the reason I say that, so Courtney, do you want to know how easy it is to become a millionaire? So like, here's how I phrase it to my clients. So if you save $300 a month, so that's $3,600 a year, and invested into like an S&P 500 index fund and do that for a 40-year period, do you know how much money you would have over that time frame?
I have no idea.
$973,000.
Nice.
So that's nice. Yeah, so you're just short of being a millionaire. And this is $300 a month, which I think is very achievable for most people. So now let's take a step back. So let's say you didn't start at 25 and you started at like 45, right? So 20 years later. And you did the same thing, invested $300 a month, $3,600 a year, and did it for until you're 65. So that's 20 years. Do you know how much money you would have then?
I don't know.
So $180,000. So
wow.
20 years of not saving can cost you $800,000. So that is huge. That's a huge difference. So I just like to show my clients how big of a factor time is to investment, horizon and potential returns. So saving early and often is just so pivotal. And on top of that, I would just say educate yourself. I challenge most individuals, try to read one personal finance book a year. I feel like if you do that, you'll be ahead of 90% of America, right? So saving early and often in self-education would just be huge to your financial future.
And what advice would you give fellow CPAs about working with millennials?
Be patient and be creative. Patient in the sense that you're not just going to be able to tell a millennial something and they're just going to do it. Some do. In my experience, most don't. So you have to be patient with them and getting things done. And the second piece of advice, be creative, is that you have to make it entertaining, fun, and be interested, because millennials were not the typical strict, straightforward type of person. So if you can make it creative and make it tailored to that individual, you'll build so much, such a better relationship with them to be able to help them the way you want to. So I would just really urge those two things, be patient and be creative, and you can be successful with the demographic.
So you lost your parents at a very young age. You were still in high school, which must have been horrible. But you didn't give up. You went to college. You got your master's. You got your CPA. And now you're a successful business owner. Can you talk about how losing your parents influenced you?
First of all, it made me grow up faster than all of my peers. I lost my mom at 14, my dad at 16. So at 16 years old, I had no parents. So it really made me grow up at 16 years old, which gave me years of head start to my peers to really focus on my future. Second, it gave me perspective, which I think is very important. Once you lose your parents, like other problems that you encounter don't seem that big anymore. Because if you could get through that, you can get through pretty much anything. And it's really helped me from a business standpoint in the early challenges of being an entrepreneur. It really gave me perspective on what a problem is, and it really helped me push through and be the person I am today. And last but not least, it taught me a very important lesson in life, and that is that life isn't about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to it. So how you respond to circumstances, in my opinion, is one of the biggest aspects of your life that you have personal control over.
And what's some advice that your parents gave you that you take with you?
So my parents are polar opposite people. So I would have to say it's like two good lessons of advice. My mom believed in education. She was a special ed teacher. So she really believed in education. My dad was a construction worker. So he believed in hard work. So what I did is put them both together. So you can combine education with hard work. I feel like the sky is the limit. And that's what I've been doing all my life, and it's really what helped me get to where I am today.
So what drives you? What is your passion?
Another great question. So what gets me up every day is that knowing what I'm doing actually makes a difference. now I don't really care whether it's a Monday, Sunday, Tuesday. I know that waking up like that day, I have a chance to change someone's life for the better. And knowing that, that kind of gets me up every day. That's kind of my motivation. And I encourage everybody to search for that feeling to where getting up every day is like you're making a difference.
So that was great. Thank you very much, Cofield, for agreeing to speak with us today.
No problem, Courtney. It was my pleasure. I love what the AICPA is doing, and I hope I can help in any way possible.
Once again, that was Cortland Cofield of Cofield Advisors in Chicago. And this has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.